Welcome back to Word and Table. We're a weekly podcast about liturgy, sacraments, and the great tradition of Christian worship and why it is vital in our world today. I'm your host, Alex Wilgus, and I'm here, as always, with Father Stephen Gauthier. Welcome, Father Stephen.
Good to be back. Thanks, Alex.
Father Stephen is the canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest in the Anglican Church in North America, and we are recording from an unseasonably beautiful and warm February day in Wheaton, Illinois.
Right. At the cathedral.
Yeah, at the cathedral of our Diocese Church of the Resurrection. So today, the topic I wanted to talk about, Father Stephen, was the saints. Mm-hmm. There was really no awareness for me growing up in why certain saints, figures in Christian history, might have been important to anyone. But coming to Anglican churches, there are so many churches that are named after saints. Mm-hmm. There are saints' feast days. I know we've talked about the history of those. But I want to just ask you about what's significant about the saints in our tradition. Why do we emphasize them?
Well, being good Anglicans, maybe we should start from the beginning, which is that we're all saints. That's the teaching of the New Testament. We're constantly referring to the saints at Corinth, the saints here, the saints there. A sanctity means holy. The word saint is simply from the Latin word sanctus through the French saint, meaning holy, set apart for God.
Okay.
It's God's possession. And so we're routinely in the New Testament, Christians are referred to as saints. Well, remember, we believe that life doesn't end in death, and so your status as holy doesn't change when you die. So maybe that's a context to it. I think it's about parishioners who keep on trucking,
okay.
You know, even after death. So the communion of saints, where we talked about that doctrine, which is that, you know, not only does our baptism and Eucharist bring us together, make us one, but that unity is not broken by death.
Yeah.
So I think the better thing is to see saints as not other people, but we're part of that cloud. They're the cloud of witnesses where we're part of all the saints.
Oh, wow. So in a way, it's like the church does not just consist of the people that happen to be alive.
No, by no means. Yeah. By no means. One thing I like to tell people sometimes in counseling people with grief and things is that it's so true, is they'll say, gee, I wish I could have told my mom. You know, we had a fight or something. I wish I could have told her what I felt. And it reminds me of a Russian joke about the death of Stalin, of all things. But I've always loved this, is when Stalin died, it was a great, you know, a cult of personality. The story goes, it's a Russian joke, that one old babushka, grandmother, was in the icon corner of her house, one of the few people who were still religious, and she's praying. And they said, what are you praying for? And she said, I'm praying for Comrade Stalin. And she said, well, why? He didn't believe in God. She said, well, he does now. But there's a profound spiritual truth there.
Yeah.
Is honestly, you know, we're not, you know, that those kind of things are gone. Because if you had some misunderstanding, believe me, it's not misunderstood anymore.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
don't, you know, Jesus says, whoever believes in, even though he die, yet shall he, and all who believe in me shall never die.
Okay.
So in that sense, even though we're awaiting the fullness of our salvation, you know, at the resurrection of the dead, the fact is we're with God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, that communion of saints is not broken. So it's all of us, and those are the we tend to think particularly of those who've gone before us.
Okay, so that maybe the first thing to question is whether there's such a sharp division between us
right.
and the saints. I think that, you know, maybe this is a mistaken impression, but for me, there was this sense that there was kind of a class of saints that just were not of us. We're on sort of a certain level. And they were singled out for special kind of reverence or adulation. Is that something?
True. It's like we have in our regular lives, there are sort of special heroes. It started out, I think we might have said in an earlier broadcast, is the original connection of sort of special consciousness of the saints had to do with local martyrs.
Right.
And
yeah.
we talked about that is, gee, you can imagine in your parish, if somebody was killed, was arrested and executed, is people had a special remembrance. They had a special, you know, they were sort of heroes.
Sure, sure.
And so the original idea of saints became the ones of all the people who are there, the living and the dead, you tend to remember those who most made some mark, you know, and that would be originally the martyrs, and with other people who made a, you know, basically exemplars of faith came to be in a special way remembered.
Right, right. So this all kind of began as local remembrance of...
Uniquely, right.
Yeah.
Ironically, the apostles come a little bit later because, again, they it wasn't clear in most cases, except Peter and Paul, where they'd actually died, very specific spots.
Okay.
And so the original saints would actually be local martyrs, and later on we have... We have the apostles who weren't connected with individual sites other than Peter and Paul. And it's sort of interesting. You might say, well, you know, normally the day a saint was commemorated, we said this in the calendar, was the day they died.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't know the day they died, they would often say the first day a church was named after you. Would they choose something like that would be the day you would have your day if it's somebody, we don't know when they died.
Right, right, okay.
So those general things, like the apostles. Yeah, like the apostles other than Peter and Paul.
Sure. So our remembrance of the saints, though, is kind of, you know, I would, it's past beyond sort of local remembrance now.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Maybe I could ask, what does remembering the saints, especially particularly famous saints in the church, mean to us here today in the United States in the 21st century, for instance? How does remembering, say, you know, I'm just gonna show
it.
My ignorance. I don't know many saints. So, say remembering Saint Augustine or Saint Irenaeus or something like that. What is that? What can we take from that here today?
Well, they are really examples. I mean, I read from the lives of the saints every day. And one thing I like about that is sainthood, you know, often we have this sort of plaster image of, quote, a saint. But what's amazing to me is how different sanctity is. You know, once Mother Teresa in an interview said, you know, we all have to be saints. We're just in different ways. You know, all of us being the man or woman God made us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Fully, that's what sanctity is all about. Sainthood is simply about living fully that way and seeing the variety of different ways that's done that are all equally authentic.
Sure. Well, and that goes to my question, though, because I feel like many people who are who are anti-saint reverence, people who don't think that's a good idea or good practice to single out particularly mm-hmm. bright examples, would point to what you just said and say, well, we're all saints. All of us have a kind of equal responsibility for sanctity. It's counterproductive to single out one or another particularly shining example of this, because we're all saints, so to heck with the saints.
Well, I think, you know, we honor, for example, as Anglicans, we have the saints. We just think we don't just choose one. We have a variety of different ones. So we've just, as a church of people, we've remembered together. I think maybe one of the issues why a lot of people have a bad taste about saints, it's understandable. Let me tell you some bits of our history where I think it comes from and to get rid of some things. There's always a tendency to feel that we can't approach God.
Huh.
That's a natural tendency, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
There really is. And so what happened, especially in the Middle Ages and things, is we began the idea, starting with Mary, is that, you know, just as some people have a false notion of God the Father, they think that somehow he has anger issues and Jesus is the one we certainly go through Jesus, but that's not, we know it's not true. It says God the Father so loved us, he gave his son.
Yeah.
But sometimes in a bad theology is the idea, well, I can't really approach the Father in the sense he's not open to me. Mm-hmm. Now, it's true we do go through Jesus to approach the Father, but not because the Father is unapproachable. Well, people, if you look at those cathedrals in Europe, Jesus of the Judgment became a very very stern character in the Middle Ages and things, and people began looking, for example, Mary as sort of the one who could talk, speak up for you.
The good cop.
Yeah, okay. she was the one who an intermediary with Jesus, somebody who goes through, mm-hmm. Also, you have a lot of other saints. What happened, they became, often they were associated with particular miracles or things, and they would be sort of become specialists. They had like the 14 holy auxiliaries, they called them. They sort of like specialists, like you think of going to specialized doctor. Doctors,
right.
Like going to urologist or, you know.
I've seen this. Like the patron, there's a patron saint of animals, patron saint of
right.
This and that. And
so one of the things that happened, I guess two of the things that we really had trouble with, the Reformation, we wanted to go back to our roots, is as Anglicans, we certainly wanted to honor the saints. These memories, these are witnesses that are given to us. You know, Paul, rather in Hebrew, the author of Hebrew, tells us about this cloud of witnesses. And so we wanted to go that, but we saw that something had happened where people actually seemed to have, we're referring to praying to saints as sort of a substitute. First of all, praying to them, asking them for things rather than going to God.
Okay, yeah.
And that is a real problem, looking upon them basically. And maybe a way out of this is to say, what would a proper Anglican under? First of all, you don't have to have any connection with the saints. We always go directly to God, that's true. But you know, in most of our churches, I think in ACNA, is we will have prayer ministers, people you go with for prayer at special times. And I think a healthy way to look at the saints is we can look at some of those people we identify with. As I would never go to a prayer minister, for example, and ask, you know, will you please cure me of my, you know, fill in the blank, you know, fill this disease or please give me this job, because they have no power.
You wouldn't approach them as God. Yeah.
No, there's nothing they can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's always pointing to God. And so I think a healthy way of looking to the saints, I'd say to somebody, is what is it, what prayer in the saints is, if we look at them, is no different than any other prayer minister. Now, why would people sometimes identify with some of these past figures? I think it's more like support groups in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, people who have certain diseases, for example, or situations, often feel that people will sort of understand in a very special way people who've gone through the same kind of situations.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes people, again, this would be just sort of a prayer partner. So again, I would think as an Anglican.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
It does make sense. And it makes sense to me in a way I see it a little bit in people I know who identify really strongly maybe with people or figures that they have not met, but
right.
who they feel they have some kind of kinship to. For instance, well, for me, it was an author. Mm-hmm. For me, Walker Percy, who's a Catholic Southern novelist, it was the first time I read a book that was not the Bible that I felt as though he was speaking directly to me, to my concerns, mm-hmm. things I was thinking out. And by the way, for our listeners, if you find yourself with a maybe kind of overly brainy child who is maybe struggling or questioning about some things with their faith, and he starts talking about culture and postmodernism or something like that, maybe Walker Percy would be a good recommendation. But yeah, I had this really strong affinity with Walker Percy. I was really sad to find that he died in 1990. But yeah, in a way, I, part of my and his Christian understanding, you know, is that we will meet again someday. We'll be able to talk. And I guess there was something about, you know, I didn't think of Walker Percy as any particularly unflawed or perfect mediator between me and the Father. But this idea that there was someone out there who was thinking about the things that I'd thought about, that had the same questions about God and about the world that I did, was also in that great cloud of witnesses. Is it something like that, maybe?
Yeah, well, I think a good way is to actually look at the words. When you talk about what does one say to the saints in the church's tradition? In the Latin, we said ora pro nobis. Pray for us. That is to say that we don't ask them for something. We're asking them to join our prayers our prayers with them. But I think a healthy view would be that, again, they're like any other Christian. There might be a Christian you particularly identify with, and just as you go to a friend and ask for prayers, you could to pray with you together to God. It's not a substitute for going to God. We always go to God.
Right.
But going to God together, that's what we do when we pray with other people. I think that could be a helpful way to look at it. You know, Alex, another thing I wanted to just make clear is, I think, again, a healthy idea of the saints, we pray with them, but it's never a substitute. Again, when you're a prayer minister with someone, you're both praying together. We don't ask somebody else to pray instead of our praying. Right?
Oh,
I don't ask
okay.
you to pray for something important in my life and then not pray myself. We're always praying together to God. There's nothing ever separates us from our direct personal contact with God.
So when we say pray for us, we're not saying pray so we don't have to.
Exactly. We're praying together. They're praying and we're praying. But there's no substitute for our personally approaching God, and there's no barrier for our doing that.
Sure, sure. And then there's also, you know, we've talked before about the Christian life. It needs to be lived entirely in community.
Right.
And sometimes I have questions about that of what about, you know, ascetics or people who don't feel that they have any immediate community. What is there available for them? Does the saints kind of provide that in some way?
Well, it's certainly true that the Desert Fathers, for example, but I think it's important. We think, for example, the great original hermit was, you know, the great one was St. Anthony the Great. We think of him.
Okay.
But Anthony certainly set the example of what hermits do living alone, but he came out, he was still completely engaged in the life of the church. He came out, for example, St. Athanasius, who wrote his life, he came to support Athanasius.
Oh.
So he looked upon this as a place, his life of prayer and things was something that sort of gave him the strength and direction and things, but he was still active with the church. He would have seen his life as simply being certainly part of the church.
Sure. Sure, absolutely, yeah. Well, there's one other thing that was particularly encouraging for me in thinking about the saints was coming into the Anglican tradition and starting to look at the history of the church beyond about year 100, because that's typically where my kind of evangelical upbringing drew the line at what was important to remember about the church and the work of the Holy Spirit. After about maybe year 100, we didn't really have to.
The Holy Spirit sort of retired.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
And so when I first started to accept the idea of, oh, well, maybe the Holy Spirit didn't stop working his people after that time, remembering the saints was something that was very, very encouraging to me, to seeing it became a little bit like common sense. Like, oh, of course, of course, God didn't want to stop working in people's lives after Peter, James, Paul, and the great apostles, that he would want his work to continue. And the saints are just particular examples of people through whom the Holy Spirit has worked.
Yeah, I think, again, the healthy way to look at the communion of saints is the fact is that that communion doesn't end. It's not broken by death.
Right.
And see this as a continuer. C.S. Lewis, one of our most famous Anglicans, talked about the democracy of the dead.
Wasn't that G.K. Chesterton? I'm sorry.
I thought it was C.S. Lewis.
I think it's G.K. Chesterton.
I'm sure you'd be right.
Okay.
I would certainly give that to you.
I'm going to score 1 point on this podcast.
I give it to you, by the way. But let's say Chesterton talked about the democracy there, but I think it's healthy to remember the part that, again, we are a community. Again, it's not like we're inventing all this. We're part of a history.
Right, and just to explain the idea of the democracy of the dead, so check me on this, but did he mean that when people come together to make decisions in a democratic way, they will vote on things, and his explanation of why tradition is actually democratic is because in the same way we wouldn't deny someone a vote because of their race, or they happen to be of a certain race, they happen to be of a certain gender or whatever, you would say the church does not deny someone a vote just because they happen to be dead, to be not alive, as a kind of example of...
Well, I think I'd be more tended. I think that might be how he
explained it.
I obviously don't know the passage directly, but I would think the way of looking democracy of the dead type of thing would be the fact is we believe that the church didn't begin with us. It's a healthy way to realize the church has been God's witness across the ages, and we can't just... We're not reinventing. You know, we're part of a broader witness. We take that witness very, very seriously.
Well, thank you, Father Stephen. That's all the time that we have for this episode. And thank you for listening.
Saints be praised.
Saints be praised. And thank you for listening to Word and Table. We'll be back next week with more on liturgy, sacraments, and the great tradition of Christian worship. Thanks for listening.